winning, 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 winning.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Yeah, welcome back to the show. This is the Two Dumb Yenzers. This is episode 541. Good Monday morning to everybody. This is the day after Christmas, basically, here in Pittsburgh. How you doing today, Mike?
Oh, I'm doing great. This is a great, great, great weekend, man. Holy moly.
Therapy, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. I have my coffee. I'm ready to go.
All right. Look at you. You know, I made the ultimate mistake this morning. I did. I took a shower and I drank coffee. Okay. And I don't know if you've ever done these two things at the same time and gone anywhere that was semi-important. You tend to find out that you sweat a little bit more than usual. I do this sometimes before I go places, and I realize, oh God, why did I do the shower coffee combo? I did it today. I'm sweating like crazy. But you know what? Can't have nothing to do with the 85 degree weather that we're gonna be having today.
No. No, it is hot. It is disgusting. I have to go do yard work after this. I have to cut a bunch of trees down to my yard. There's no shade back there anyway. And then on top of it, I'm cutting down trees. It's going to be a rough one for me.
And good morning on the board to Ron. How you doing today, sir?
Excuse me.
As I mentioned at the top of the show, this is like the day after Christmas, guys. Now we get to sit back and just look at all the gifts mm-hmm. that we got and just kind of analyze and go and start playing with them and seeing what it is that we actually have here the day after the draft. Basically after the draft ended throughout the weekend. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about today, guys. The Pittsburgh Steelers, they have a pretty excellent draft, in my opinion.
Yep.
The Pittsburgh Passion kicks off this weekend for their opener down in Alabama. A little UFL. Hounds are back on track. And also, guys, we have a little bit about those Buccos. We'll just brush at the end of the show because that's all they're deserving right now.
Yeah.
And we're not going to get much more than that.
Yeah, that's all they deserve ever. They're breaking my heart.
A couple things that I do want to talk about before we get started, though, guys. Before we get into the draft, because this is NFL related, these are some of the things that Roger Goodell wants to do with the NFL. He wants to shorten a preseason to 2 games.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to have 18 regular season games. And he wants to expand Super Bowl weekend to make it a whole day, a whole weekend event, basically. He wants to do it on the week that there's
President's Day, yep.
And that way it could end out having your Super Bowl Saturday, your Super Bowl Sunday, and everybody could just relax on the next day. Not have to worry about getting up early to go to work. And, of course, this ultimately benefits the business, the company, because that way they ensure they get the more viewers and yada, yada, yada. So there you go, guys. And also one other thing, Mike, the Guardian caps have been okayed. The Guardian caps have been okayed for the players to wear during the games this upcoming season. So you may see those Guardian caps, guys, that you see the players wearing during practice. They have been okayed to wear during the games this coming season. So
that's going to be interesting.
It is going to be interesting. So Roger Goodell on his list are 18 regular season games, cut preseason down to 2, make Super Bowl a long weekend, 3-day weekend, and also the Guardian caps will be used this coming season in the NFL. It's going to be kind of strange to get used to. I'm sure the older generations will think it's a terrible idea.
It's a terrible idea.
But we just have to play it out. We have to let it play out and see how it goes.
Yeah. You know, the same people said that, you know, when the NFL introduced helmets, oh God, the league's gone soft when they introduced leather helmets. You know, this is the next evolution.
Yeah. So there you go. The draft. Yeah, Mike, this is what everybody and anybody's been talking about when they start talking football this weekend, of course. And the Steelers, they have a pretty nice draft, Mike. I got to say, they selected – it went better than I expected. And I was expecting them to do well. Don't get me wrong. You go back and look at our shows, you can see who we thought they were going to take. And we weren't that far off.
No,
Good morning to pee on the board as well.
The hookers and pimp unions will be pleased.
That's right. Let me get
They do look like the Mario Brothers. They all look like Toad when they're wearing that thing.
I know. Could you imagine, like, on a video game, some guy has that thing on her head, some guys doesn't.
If that's included in the next Madden, every player I have on my squad will have one of those on just to make it look like, you know, so ridiculous.
Yeah. It's kind of ridiculous, but let's continue on. All of our draft picks, or most of our draft picks, as far as I know, are in town. They made their trek here to the Steel City after being drafted. Let me give you a rundown, guys, of what our draft board looked like. Our number one pick, of course, we talked about on the Friday show, the number 20 overall, the complete steal. The complete steal was Troy Fatanu. Nobody thought that we would get him. He dropped down to where we were able to get him at 4, which gives us a super valuable first round pick.
Yeah.
Number 2 with pick number 51, Zach Frazier, who everyone pretty much had expected is who we were going to get. I mean, you know, it was a stretch to get JPJ to drop all the way to 51 at that point.
Yeah.
So most people expected Zach Frazier. Mike Tomlin actually told him during his visit, don't pick up your phone unless you see the 412 area code.
I like it.
And Zach Frazier also only lives an hour and a half away from Pittsburgh. So this, you know, this just seems like one of them things is going to work out great for everybody. And especially since the Steelers, when they get their franchise center, they keep them for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Going all the way back to Ray Mansfield. Webster, Dawson, Pouncey. You can even kind of throw in Jeff Hardings. You can throw him in there. He was here for a while. Wasn't at their level, but was really damn good. So get a good center, man. It can open up a lot of things, especially the way we like to run the ball. And especially if Frazier can pull the way like Damarney Dotson, Marquise Pouncey did, look out.
Our number three pick overall was number 84, the 84th draft in the pick in the NFL draft. Was wide receiver Roman Wilson out of national champion Michigan Wolverines. Number 4.
I don't like it.
some people call this the steal.
Yeah.
The steal of the draft, guys. Which I got to be honest with you, if you start paying attention to the draft every year, it seems like the Steelers always get one of these steals right around now, right around this round here. And they grab Peyton Wilson at the number 98 overall pick from North Carolina State. And he's just one of these guys that are everywhere.
Oh, he does Mike, not stop.
He doesn't flies stop. Around.
Yeah. Not bad for a guy who doesn't have an ACL.
And he has no ACL.
You can't tear it. You know, you get to go.
Because Hines Ward had no ACL.
Yep.
DeJuan Blair, the Pitt star who ended up going to the NBA, had no ACL.
Yeah.
So don't get too concerned about this one, guys. I think, you know, having the ACL issue is actually when you have the ACL in your body. But if you don't have an ACL, you can't hurt your ACL. Yeah. So, again.
That's like a 3,000 IQ play there.
That's right.
What's going to take your ACL so you can never tear it again?
The number 5 pick for the Pittsburgh Steelers coming in at the 119th pick is Mason McCormick, Mike, who, you know, you and I talked a little bit about.
Yeah. But,
he was the highest graded PFF guard in the draft. So, again, do what you want with the PFF. But on the other hand, I heard some positives. I heard some negatives.
It's a long-term pick.
Long-term pick, absolutely. Yeah. He's not getting plugged and played like Fatanu and like Frazier and probably like Wilson.
Yeah.
Number 6 pick overall for the Steelers, Mike, is – and he was from South Dakota. No.
South Dakota. Yeah.
Number 6 overall was Logan Lee, a defensive tackle from Iowa. And finally – a cornerback from Texas with our last pick, the sixth round, which was our last pick overall, 195.
Yeah.
Ryan Watts out of Texas.
Yeah. Looking like might shift back to safety just because of his height and his speed. Even though he has the height that we like for a corner, I don't know if he's going to be fast enough to play corner. But look for him to be, if he makes the team, special teams. for that guy.
And let me give you a rundown, guys. This is what your offensive line is going to look like. Center is going to be Frazier. Your guards are going to be Siamalu and James Daniels. And your tackles are going to be Broderick Jones and Troy Fatanu. Some people saying this Mike could be a top eight offensive line in the NFL.
Yeah, I was hearing, like top 10, top five. Not right away. It might take a while for it to get there, but I think it's going to start out a whole hell of a lot better than we ended last year and end a whole hell of a lot better than it starts this year. This the pedigree you have on that line. You're going to have your bookends are two first-round draft picks. Your center, second-round pick. James Daniels is one of the better pass-blocking guards in the NFL. Really good run blocker too. Siamalu is just a road grading guy. He's good in the pass game. Won a Super Bowl, knows how to work that line. That line is going to be damn good. And they just need to stop the BS of like bringing these guys along slow. Plug those two in right now. Get everyone where you think they're going to be at the end of the year and work them together from now until opening day to have that chemistry going. Because we saw last year, once Broderick Jones got in and rocking and rolling, the line chemistry improved.
Now I just have a question.
Yeah.
What do we call it? No, we can't call it the picket fence.
Now it's like the steel wall.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. It's the great wall. But yeah, like they just, I want them to just anoint these guys starters because that's what they are. They're better than whoever we have on the roster and let them all five work together because O-line continuity is key. Now, our O-line coach has good pedigree to work with. Let's see what he can do. Coach these guys up that you actually have starters on this team. You're not having backups play. And the guard pick, I really wasn't a big fan of, but you have to realize what James Daniels is contracts up next year. Herbig's contracts up next year. And this guy, like his athletic scores are off the charts. For an offensive lineman, he's an athletic freak, so let him sit for a year, and then it's a good pick.
What a lot of people don't remember or recall or even want to acknowledge is the Steelers, with the disaster that they had going on last year behind the center, they went 10-7.
Yeah.
They made the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And for people, come on, I mean, we improved greatly at the offensive line, and we brought in some big names. With Patrick Queen on the defensive side of the ball and, some quarterbacks that are proven. So, for anybody that thinks that this team hasn't proven greatly and puts themselves in a position to make some kind of run, they're out of their minds. I mean, this might be one of the better Steeler teams I could remember in a long time. Whether they play like it or not this season, it's yet to be seen. But this team here has improved greatly. Let me jump back to these picks, guys. Roman Wilson. He has, out of all the receivers taken in this draft, Mike, the highest separation versus man coverage.
Yeah, that's huge.
At 85%. And this is above your Marvin Harrison. This is above everybody. I'm going down the list. Dunze, everybody, neighbors. Everybody on this list is below Roman Wilson. I'm really excited about Roman Wilson. Yeah. Like, I wasn't sure what to make it first, but you know what? I like it.
He's a more athletic Hines Ward.
He's a more athletic Hines Ward. And he's tough.
Yeah.
They're saying, he is a Hines Ward type of guy. He's, he's gritty. He's tough.
Yeah.
We like those kind of things. He has 4.3 speed. He has good separation, reliable hands, and willing and an aggressive blocker.
Yeah. And like you watch him on contested catches, he will fight through the ball like he's a 6'6 receiver. So he's the total. Like I have a feeling if he was in that like 6'1", 6'2", 6'3" range, he would have been a first round draft pick.
Yeah.
With the height, he would have been picked up much higher. Now you get him in the middle of the third round, great value. And it wouldn't surprise me if he can come in and play right away and contribute right away. Kind of like Tank Dell did down in with the Texans last year. He can be that kind of guy, an explosive day one, ready to go guy.
Our receivers 40 times looks like this. The fastest receiver we have is Calvin Austin, who runs a 4.32. Then Quez Watkins, who runs a 4.35. Then Van Jefferson, who runs a 4.39. Roman Wilson with a 4.39. And finally, George Pickens with a 4.47. So if anything, we got a really fast wide receiver group.
Yeah. Hopefully, and it was like you said, Roman Wilson, that the good separation too. So shows you pretty good route runner right there, which is what they needed since they lost Deontay Johnson. Say what you will about Deontay, he was a damn good route runner. You know, people throughout the league say he was one of the best, if not like the best, probably top five route runners. And you need someone who can do that. And it's looking like we got that in Roman Wilson with the separation right there. Because it's not just speed, it's how you can use your speed and how you get off that line and the way you run those routes to get that separation. I still want a veteran receiver. It's looking like the Courtland Sutton trade might not happen from the Denver's end. But if we can find another veteran to add to this mix, I'll be more comfortable.
I think that's the only thing they really have left to do. And I think they're going to do it. They're going to find somebody. I don't know who it's going to be just yet. Give me one sec, Mike. I'm going to get into that just a moment here.
Yeah.
Let's see. So we also grabbed a handful of free agents as soon as the draft was over. Yeah. A couple guys that we liked was Beanie Bishop, the cornerback from West Virginia.
Yeah. Ike Taylor syndrome. Can't catch, but can break up the passes. Yeah.
Julius Westcoff from the outside linebacker. Jacoby, Windham, a linebacker. Dejon Edwards, a running back from Georgia. And then also John Ross Plumlee, the quarterback from UCF, Central Florida, which I keep hearing a lot of great things about him. If you're trying to round out your quarterback room,
yeah,
get somebody to sit in that third spot and hold the clipboard for a while. So, I mean, top to bottom, guys, the only thing that we didn't get in this draft was our number two receiver,
yeah,
which ultimately makes me think, they're going to have to do something. They're going to we just don't have a number two receiver, bottom line. There's no twisting, turning, moving guys. You don't have a number two receiver. But with that being said, the other 21 guys, your other 21 starters for this team are about ready to go. Everything is set in place. We have a nice team. And we even have a little bit of depth at some positions. So it's looking good, Mike. I mean, this is a stupid question, but what do you grade this year's draft?
I think give it an A, just because like you said you weren't going to be able to fill every single hole in the draft. You can't do that. But they filled major holes. You're getting two starters on the offensive line. Roman Wilson, he might not be your number two right away, but he can be your number three. Wilson, I think he's going to work into that rotation with Patrick Queen, with Landon Roberts, and I think he will be the guy right after them until Cole Holcomb comes back. He's a nice insurance policy to have right there, and I think he might push our boy Mark Robinson off the team.
You know what? I was just going to ask you that. I was going to say, do we obtain enough, Mike, by way of linebacker this offseason to push Mark Robinson off the team? Because now if you get Cole Holcomb back from that injury, you have Landon Roberts, you have Patrick Queen, Wilson, it doesn't seem like they're doing anything to move him up the ladder.
I just now thought, like, when I said that, I forgot with the new special teams are going to be key. I think he's a good special teams player, and I think he will find us. He'll get a roster spot just for special teams right there. So I think he might just be destined to be a special teamer, and that's okay because now we got Peyton Wilson to be that backer, and Mark can just be a special teams demon, which that's fine. That's perfect. People have long careers that way. Not everyone's going to play. I think he would be that guy. But he also showed, like, in a pinch, he can play a handful of snaps here and there, and the drop-off wasn't that much last year. So I think he finds a way on special teams to make a roster spot.
So, Mike, you said that you think that this draft was an A.
Yeah.
What do you give Omar Khan and company for just their overall performance in this offseason? Free agents, draft?
An A as well, because, we needed our quarterback room. We didn't like the way it was. Guess what? We're going to tear it down and rebuild it.
Yeah.
You get an established veteran. You get a young guy who's had some highs, some lows. It might be something there. Not bad as your number two. Someone who can play if your number one gets hurt.
And we know that he likes guys named Wilson, I guess.
He does like guys named Wilson. Upgraded that linebacking core. Defense, Dante Jackson's I think he's a better corner than Pat Pete was. The only thing is that wide receiver room, but you know, it's, you got to give and you got to take, and you got to, you know, salary cap. You can only have every position stacked. You can't have every position stacked. So they're hoping maybe we'll go on the cheap, get some cheap guys, get a guy in the draft, and maybe Roman Wilson surprises us and is that number two, and then everyone else falls in line. So right now in A, you, until we start them to play, or until they start playing games, we see what we have. Right now it's an A. On paper, it's an A.
Absolutely, Mike. During the Omar Khan era, the drafts round one and two have looked like this. Roderick Jones, Joey Porter Jr., Troy Fatanu, and Zach Frazier. So, you know, I mean, he's not doing that bad of a job during his first couple years in the draft here. I just let me ask you this, guys. Brian on the board. Good morning, Brian. Brian says, I think Frazier will be the only starter from this draft, weeks one through five. Interesting. My question is this. Can we complete this team with two men named Sutton? If you would grab, as you mentioned earlier, it's probably not going to go, Mike, the Courtland Sutton. If you would grab Courtland Sutton for your number two, and you would take back Cam Sutton, who came back to Pittsburgh to talk last week after having his incident, his domestic incident. He was not a bad corner, Mike. I was kind of upset when he left. He did a good job, did a decent job when he left here. Could we top this team off and complete this team by signing two men named Sutton?
I would definitely love to get both of them. You know, going through reading what Cam Sutton, his legal troubles, you know, it's being worked out in the system. He has to, you know, attend these programs and to work through what he did, and the charges will be like really reduced or dropped. So he's handling on the legal end. That's what you wanted to see, and it's being taken care of. And then you bring him in, he's not going to have to be your number one, number two. He has to go back to your slot where he was more comfortable here in Pittsburgh, where out in Detroit, they were playing him all over. I think you bring him back as your slot corner, that did it. Your secondary is vastly improved. And my thing is, like, get the legal stuff taken care of and then make sure his head's right. Then you sign the guy. I would be okay with it.
Here's the thing. If you go to work and there's a dude that has a criminal history, but he does really well at his job. Yeah. And he shows up and he does his work, and he does great work. Mm-hmm. I don't care.
As long as you got your stuff taken care of and your hands on right at work,
stealing from me or assaulting me, I'm fine. Yeah. Who cares? People have to work.
Yeah, they have to work, and you know everything's being handled on the legal end. It's being agreed by him. What was it? His wife. Her girlfriend at the time, she agreed to the lesser charge. So everything's being worked up that end. So why not give him a second chance? No one's perfect. You know, give him that second chance. And if they can pull that trade off with Denver, now that receiving core is looking really good.
Absolutely, Mike. As I said, you can top this team off signing two men named Sutton right now.
Yeah.
And you'd be ready for the season.
Yeah. Sutton, Wilson, Wilson, and Wilson, man. We got a law
Sutton,
firm guy.
Sutton, Wilson, Wilson, and Wilson. Yes. Yes, that's a good one, Mike. Couple more things, and we're gonna get to a caller. We do have waiting on the line. Let me get through this here real quick, though, guys. Peyton Wilson is the brother of former Pittsburgh Pirate Bryce Wilson. Bryce Wilson played here in Pittsburgh for a while, and guess what? Peyton Wilson, he lived with him for a while in the Strip District. I was reading an article where they were asking him about things, how he likes Pittsburgh. He's like, this is totally familiar to me. He's like, I lived in the Strip District with my brother when he played baseball here. So he, you know, I mean, a lot of these guys, they kind of have these background stories. Like I said, Zach Frazier only lives an hour and a half away. These people, I think, are going to want to come in and win here and play here. And the leadership, Mike, tell me what Jalen Warren says about the leadership between this year and last year's teams.
It's night and day.
So going from the quarterback room that we had, Kenny Pickett, Mitch Trubisky, and Mason Rudolph, Jalen Warren said that the leadership on this team is like night and day.
Yeah. A lot of fans were butthurt about that, but he was honest. You know, that's what I want from my team, honesty. And I think it's the truth. You had Mitch Trubisky who flamed out, and he wasn't the starter here. You had a young guy trying to be the starter. Then you had a guy who's been around forever but, you know, was just that third stringer. So there really wasn't a lot of leadership in there. So you get a guy who's, you know, won a Super Bowl, been to two. You're going to listen.
Absolutely. Mike, I also got some other things we're going to go over shortly. It's going to be where some of the big names that aren't as big as football players, where they tended to land. I'm talking about the Jerry Rice's son, Terrell mm-hmm. Owens' son, even where Jordan Travis from Florida State. We'll go over some of these teams that landed these guys here shortly. But first off, we're trying something new this week, guys. We're working into our calls for the show. We do very much want to have call-ins for this show every day. I'm trying something a little different. So I have Ron. Of course, everybody that's on the board regularly recognizes Ron.
Oh.
Ron, you are going to help us today with a little experiment we're going to do. Ron, how are you doing, man?
Hey, guys. This is great. Let me turn on my
Hey, Ron, what's up?
There he is. How you doing, man?
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
We can hear you. We can see you. You look good, my man. How you doing?
I'm hanging in there. You know, it was rough at first, but, you know, I remember you guys did the video with the Paranormal Mavericks.
Yes.
Like that happened.
It cut out for just a second, Ron. I'm not sure what you said in the middle.
I said that I had some paranormal activity going.
Did you really? Since just recently?
Yeah, what happened was, you know, I'll try to make this quick because I know you got to do the show and stuff.
You're
but,
good, brother.
You know, I was bawling my eyes out. I was staying in the garage. The hospital bed was in the living room, and you could see like the fan above me.
Yeah,
I have one in the living room too, and you see that there's a light in the middle. It's an LED light. Okay. Well, I always have the fan on, but I never have the light on, and you gotta turn it on with a remote control. So, everybody's like, you need to eat. So I went out and got something to eat, and I ate in the garage some pizza, and then I came inside that night. It was Tuesday night, and I walked through the kitchen around the corner, and that light was on.
What?
Yep, the light was on, and I was like, immediately, I was like, hello, honey. And all the warmth came back into the house. My heart got lighter, and I knew she was okay. And then the next day, the fan turned off. I didn't do nothing. So that was the second sign.
Wow.
So then it gets better. So my buddy from we've been friends ever since our first ship in 87. I called him and he's like, I'm flying out there. One day, and he missed his flight, so he didn't fly out till Wednesday. He was supposed to fly out Tuesday and he didn't get here till Wednesday. And then he had a 6-hour layover in Nashville, but he caught an early flight. Okay. So I go over to the airport and pick him up. And then in the area, you know, like, especially here, because we're a lot of military and we got a military base, we're getting a lot of boot camp kids right in for training mm-hmm. and stuff like that. They got a USO station there and volunteers run the desk for them to come up and ask questions and if they need help or whatever. So there was an older lady sitting there and we got to talking. I was waiting for my friend to get in and stuff. And then I told her about the wife and all that. And she this is where your paranormal girls would be like, yeah. She's like, was her hair kind of wavy and gray, had some gray? And I'm like, yeah, why? She goes, she's right there.
Oh, wow.
She's right over your left shoulder.
See, and she's not going nowhere. She's there with you.
And then she said, she's saying, now, grace of God, that's all I can say. Grace of God, my heart is just so mended. He pain away. And yeah, I just wanted to share that story with you guys.
When did she pass, Ron? If you don't mind me asking.
She passed last Saturday.
Okay, last Saturday.
So it was the third day, And she's Filipino, and a lot of Filipinos believe like you'll be revisited on the third day. So, hey,
wow, wow, that's amazing. Yeah. You always hear things like this, and you never want to be in the situation because obviously you don't want to lose your loved ones. But if you do, you think to yourself, I mean, this is something that I would love, I want to happen. I want them to make some kind of, make it known that they're still with me or, give me some kind of sign. And the fact that those kind of things do happen and they happen to you in that fashion, it is, you don't wish it, but you're happy that it did happen, right? That she is able to.
Yeah. I told her when she was alive, I said, honey, if you pass, cause she was battling stage 4 small cell lung cancer. So,
oh, wow.
On the wall, and I said, you better come back and haunt me or give me a sign or something. And right. Like I said, by the grace of God, he let her do that. And it's just like, because she was always worried about me more than myself, because I'm an emotional guy, and she was worried about me taking care of myself and all that stuff. And it's just such a so yeah, I've been good. I've been, because I know she's open, I know she's here, and I know, so I hope. I don't wish it on anybody, but, and not everybody gets to experience what I experienced, but it's only through the grace of God. And not once was I mad at God through this whole thing. So by the grace of God,
Is she your age, give or take?
Oh, actually she was older. She was 16 years older than me.
Okay.
Yeah. In 91 in Great Lakes, I was 23 and she was 39, and we were together ever since. So,
wow.
Yeah.
It sounds like you had a great marriage. I mean, there's no question about that.
Yeah. Well, it's just like you have your ups and downs, just absolutely. Like any, go through it. But that's the whole thing about it is, if you have the good communication, you got to talk things out, even when it's bad, and you can make it.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. Man. Again, we are so sorry to hear. I was often thinking about you and kind of in my own way, kind of following what's going on, because, when you're on. And then when you weren't, it would be like a week. And I was like, oh, man, I hope everything's all right.
Yeah.
But everybody, this is Ron. This is Ron calling in from the panhandle of Florida.
Yeah.
I looked it up the one day because you told me that you were from the same area that Emmett Smith was from. So I did look up the area. It seems like it would be hot down there. It's hot up here. It's 85 degrees up here today, so I can't even imagine what it is down there.
It's not bad. Summertime, though, oh, my God, you're talking about, 90 degrees with a heat index of getting up to, 111, 120.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, that humidity is a killer in the summer.
Oh, yeah. I went and visited my buddy down in South Carolina one year in the summer. Never again. I'm like, dude, you can fly up here. The humidity, no, I'm too fat for that.
Pennsylvania gets pretty good humidity, thing, like, up, we didn't have an air conditioner in the house, so you just like you get used to it, So, yeah.
And then sometimes the stench creeps down from Cleveland, and that mixed up. But we do want to say, everybody on the board, all of our regular viewers, we are doing something new this week. We're going to work into our calling system. Of course, this is something that we've been on top of for a long time. If you do want to make a call, as Ron is today, shoot us in your email. We will send you the link every day to the show so you could freely make the call in. You could do it with or without camera until we get our system in place to where you're able to just like a normal person call in a number. So if you're interested in being on the show, calling in, talking to us, have questions, or just bullshitting with us, you could always send your email over to our email. You could go to our website. You could go to our Facebook page, anywhere where there's communication, just shoot it on in and we will send you the link every day that we do a show live. And you could, again, call in, you could be anonymous, whatever you want to do. We are going to do this to bridge us to when we get our system in place, but it is coming. Ron, you can stick around if you want. We're going to talk a little bit more football. If you have a place to go, whatever you want to do, it's up to you, my friend. Looking good. I do remember that. I remember that can. Matter of fact, I have the, look at you. And the hat on, even to the hat on your head. Look at you, man.
I remember him talking about this.
All right, so let's move forward a little bit, Ron. I'm going to move forward. We're going to talk about some of these other guys that were selected. And you know what? Let's talk about this is what they're saying, who got the best drafts this year.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying Pittsburgh actually had the best draft. this is one count that I have, one list. Philadelphia has the second best draft, which I don't disagree with at all. Quinion Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, your number one and your number two pick. Number three, they're saying Kansas City had the third best draft. Baltimore, number four. Detroit, number five. And the Chargers, Mike, the Chargers, also another team with a really great draft.
Yeah, they had a good draft. That Eagles draft class, especially their top two picks, they needed secondary help. And my God, you get the best corner, Cooper DeJean. You might be able to throw him back at safety. I mean, you fix all your issues right there. Then they get Jeremiah Trotter Jr. late in the fifth round. Another good athlete, a pretty good receiver as well in there with Ania Smith. Good draft, really good draft for them, especially in the top two.
I would have loved to have either one of them guys at the top two. Yep. However, that's just not where we're at now. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. We could certainly use a little bit of help in the secondary. But, you know, we did well. Those are the two guys that we don't get me wrong. Fatanu is somebody that we didn't even think that we had a chance to get.
Yeah.
Getting him was a big upgrade. And then also the Zach Frazier was the center. It was either him or JPJ that we wanted. So we got those two guys.
Mm-hmm.
Ron, where did Dupree go? You know what? I would like to have Dupree back because I wanted Marcus Golden back because he backed up so well behind TJ. He had four sacks last year in the backup position. But I believe Marcus Golden signed with the Dolphins, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I know he was talking to them. I don't know where he is, but where Bud Dupree's at.
I think didn't Dupree
Tennessee? Wasn't he on?
No, he was on Atlanta last year.
And yeah, he was over Tennessee. Then he went to Atlanta for a season. He showed interest in coming back. The team showed interest in wanting him back. Yeah. So I wouldn't mind having him come back as in a backup role.
Wait, let me see. I mean, give me a few minutes here. I can find out where Bud Dupree's at.
All right. Also, guys, is it going to take you long?
No, he's still a free agent.
He's still out there.
Yeah, he's still out there.
Look up Marcus Golden real quick.
Marcus Golden. I just closed what I was using to find all this stuff at.
That's why we keep you on board.
Let's see. Marcus Golden. I can't find him anywhere where I was looking. My bad.
Just relax. So some of these people here, I'm going to give you some other people, names of interest in the draft. Braden Rice, the son of Jerry Rice, goes to the Chargers. He was signed after the draft was over. Terrell Owens' son, Tariq. Tariq Owens goes to San Francisco by way of free agency. Jordan Travis, the big name quarterback out of Florida State. Everybody got to know him a little bit last year. Where did he go, Mike?
I don't know.
The Jets.
Ooh.
Jordan Travis went to the Jets.
I don't know if that's a good spot for him. They can't develop quarterbacks.
Daquan, coming back to some local guys, Daquan Hardy from Penn Hills, of course, where Aaron Donald went to high school. He's playing for the Bills. He signed with the Bills. Some Pitt players, Bub Means, he was drafted to the Saints. Gonclaves to Indianapolis, and then MJ Devonshire to the Raiders. And then a couple of Pitt players that were signed after the fact. AJ Wood, free agency. He went to Washington. And Mike, Keaton Slovis, the fastest 40 in the draft by a quarterback. He went to Indianapolis as well. So the Indianapolis Colts liking their Pitt players this year.
Yeah. Marcus Golden is still a free agent.
Is he?
Yeah.
Because you get him dirt cheap. And like I said, he had four sacks last year as a backup. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. I think look for him to be back, him or Dupree. I think they'll target one of those two.
What else, Mike? Was it alarming to anybody that they didn't pick a black guy until the very last pick? I mean, you're trying to improve your team.
You're not trying to get athletes.
You're not going to have any black guys. Come on.
But they channel Alabama back in the 60s, 70s.
I like our picks. Don't get me wrong. But, I mean, come on. You're trying to improve a team.
Roman Wilson, he got a little
– All right.
He got a little something in him.
I thought they just took the Antonio Brown all white team a little too serious.
Yeah, and I think someone like Will Compton was helping us because he's all about the team white, team black thing. He's trying to help team white. He's trying to come out of retirement so he can be one of the linebackers on team white. He may have been in Omar's ear a little bit too much.
All right. Also, the AB with his ridiculous tweets. I follow just because of the show. If I didn't do the show, I wouldn't even care what the guy has to say. But he basically come out. Someone, you know, everyone's giving him a bunch of shit because he's going on about cracker of the day and cracker this. Apparently, he's saying it's a term of endearment.
Only AB. Only AB could.
That was his answer. That was his excuse. It's a term of respect.
Well, then I still say I want to be cracker of the day.
Well, you're always cracker of the day here on the show, Mike. How about that?
But from you, it's not a term of endearment.
That's right. That's right. What else do we got? Yeah. What else?
Hey, Mike, Chase Claypool's still available in free agency. Chase we Claypool's need a wide receiver.
Can you imagine?
Tyler Boyd's still out there. Michael Gallup, Odell Beckham.
I was just reading Odell Beckham is real close to going to the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw it. It would be kind of funny if we did get Odell.
What about that? What about the Riddler down in Atlanta? He's got to be pissed.
Oh, he ends up going to? Oh no! Oh, Desmond Riddler, the quarterback. I was thinking Calvin Ridley for some odd reason.
The guy
you get Kirk Cousins and then Penix in front of you. You're screwed.
You get Kirk Cousins on a 4-year deal, big money, which means he's not going nowhere. And then you get his replacement. I mean, come on, Riddler's got to be like, I'm getting the hell out of Atlanta, right?
Well, he ain't got no room to move. He's not that good.
Yeah.
But it would be funny to see if he tries to pull his weight around. Like, hey, guys, trade me. I'm like, okay, we'll get a sack of peanuts for you.
I'm going to try to find a list, Mike. Just take the mic for just 1 minute while I find a particular list I'm looking for here.
All right. Real quick, Baltimore's draft. I like what Baltimore did, but I also hate it. You get Nate Wiggins, he was rated at one point the number one corner. They get him at 30. They get pretty good tackle. And then they get my guy, who did I want? TJ Tampa, another good defensive back. They got him in the fourth round. I like what they did in the draft, and it's still going to be come down to us and them. But my God, they get a shutdown corner, and we still don't have a number two receiver. Barely have a number one. That Baltimore defense is going to be nasty. And they took a Penn State guy. They took a Penn State linebacker. So, I definitely like their draft.
It's going to be interesting. I think the Baltimore Steelers rivalry is going to re-spark, especially after Patrick Queen.
Oh yeah.
Comes to town and basically says, you know what? Screw you guys. I didn't even like you guys in Baltimore.
Talking shit on the fans all the time. I love it.
Here is a list, guys. Here's a list of the offseason additions. If you're wondering what the Steelers have done in the last 90 days since losing to the Buffalo Bills in the playoffs, this is what our offseason addition looks like. Additions, I'm sorry. Russell Wilson, Cameron Johnston, the punter, Patrick Queen, Dante Jackson in place in trade for Deontay Johnson. Safety Deshaun Elliott. Wide receiver Van Jefferson. Quarterback Justin Fields. Quarterback Kyle Allen. Wide receiver Quez Watkins. Defensive end Dean Lowry. Wide receiver / running back Cordarrelle Patterson. Tight end Michael Pruitt. Tackle Troy Fatanu. Center, Zach Frazier, wide receiver, Roman Wilson, linebacker, Peyton Wilson, guard, Mason McCormick, defensive tackle, Logan Lee, and defensive back, Ryan Watts. On top of the free agents, Mike, that I listed as well, the other five players, you're going to have about four Steelers left on this team that was around from the playoff loss. I mean, it's complete overload.
It is, too. Yeah, we didn't win with them. We might as well, we cannot win without them. So I like this approach that Omar Khan and Weedor are doing. If it's not working, guess what? We're not going to sit here and hope and pray that it works. We're going to go out and make moves that we think are going to make the team better. I like that approach. If it doesn't work, Guess what? You go out next year and reload. You can't be afraid to make changes. I like this fresh approach, this actual modern day era of team building. But we're also still clinging to some of our old stuff of, you know, drafting and developing key players and keeping them around too. So it's that nice mix of old school and new school thinking of team building.
Ron, are you excited about the moves that were made this offseason by the Steelers front office, getting this team, you know, trying to come in, replace players that weren't getting it done, putting guys in place, going to the draft, getting what they got? Are you happy with what the Steelers have done this offseason, Ron?
Yeah, the offseason, I was stoked. I was to be honest, I was a little upset that we didn't get that number one wide receiver somewhere, because Pickens is not a number one receiver. Yep. He still got growth to do, and we don't have anybody. And what kind of got me was, okay, you get rid of Johnson, who's your number one, and you have nothing to fill in for him. I mean, you kind of – and I understand what they did, and I'm glad they did, you know, what they did in the first round, but I really wanted that receiver. I was hoping maybe a trade or Ayuk or somebody like that, because without that number one – and we already know, I mean, you mentioned AB, right? Well, yeah. Pickens is kind of moving that direction.
Yeah, right.
And you know, we don't need that. But we do have the triple pants pancake stack of Wilsons.
We do. You know, I think, as I said, guys, we went with what we had, which wasn't bad team-wise. We didn't have a great quarterback situation. We certainly had room for improvement at other positions. They went out and they addressed all those things. Now, as Ron said, I couldn't agree with you more. It makes me a little bit nervous about this wide receiver vacancy. I was high on the Brandon Ayuk idea as well. Mm-hmm. I was high on a couple other guys. But as it comes down to it, Mike, I think he'll do something. But what do you think it's going to be?
Because right now what I'm reading is, like, the Denver, they want to keep Sutton because since they drafted Bo Nix, one of the worst draft picks ever, they want Cortland Sutton to be his safety valve. So it looks like he's off the board. And from going from there, I don't know who – there's no one out there that's a number one receiver on the free agent market. So it's going to be after through a trade, and I don't know who that can be.
And even the Cortland Sutton, he was played great with Russell Wilson, which was a positive that I took from that. I think Sutton, if I'm not mistaken, had 10 touchdowns last year. And, you know, so he would have been a nice fix with the new quarterback, you know, putting these guys in place and, you know, giving Russell Wilson that, you know, that little bit of extra confidence, I guess, yeah, you could say, by having a guy that he threw a lot of footballs to over the past two seasons.
Yeah. Yeah. He had, 700 yards, 10 touchdowns last year on 59 catches. So that would have been a great get, because his numbers, I think, would have been a whole hell of a lot better here.
So ultimately, and, Mike, who do you think we're going to end up with? Who's going to be our receiver? I mean, we got to do something. We literally have no number two receiver.
We have to. I'm still looking at the Tyler Boyd. I think they've freed up this money. Everyone thought it was going to be a trade for Ayuk or Cortland Sutton. Maybe it's freeing up that money when they renegotiated or restructured Highsmith's contract. It's to free up money to get Tyler Boyd just for this year. That's what I'm looking at. You'll have him. He's more of a slot guy, but you get him, you get Pickens, and then Roman Wilson in there mixed in with the handful of other guys that we have. I think they're going to be comfortable with that receiving core. Hopefully, maybe they can get more out of Freiermuth this year than we did last year. Hopefully, he can be like he was his rookie year with Ben in there. Now you got Russell Wilson, a veteran who know how to lean on that tight end more than our younger quarterbacks did. Maybe that's what they're going with right there. We have Pat Fry, we have Pickens, you know, we add Roman Wilson, and, you know, we can get a Tyler Boyd. That will be enough in the passing game. I think that's my thought process.
Freiermuth his production is going to go up. He's going to have a quarterback that's competent. I mean, last year, you know, come on, these guys didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah.
You know, these guys are career second and third string quarterbacks. There's no two ways about it. You get a guy in here who knows the game, who could step up to the line, make adjustments, know what he's looking at. He's been there, done that. The guy won Super Bowls. The guy is ultimately going to go to the Hall of Fame one day. So I think all those things kind of fix themselves. Again, my big thing right now, I'm just stuck on this one wide receiver, which is crazy because, again, we have 21 other guys filling, you know, occupying the positions that are out there. It should make you feel really good about this team. but you just can't help not think about that wide receiver spot. You just can't. Ron, how do you feel about a Tyler Boyd addition?
I like Tyler Boyd because he actually outplayed Higgins a lot of times. Higgins was always injured, and Tyler Boyd always stepped up. So, yeah. I like him. I wouldn't, you know, I don't know what the, you know, we're always getting stuff from the Bears. So, what about maybe like a DJ Moore, maybe if they're not, because they just got some guys. So, but you know what? You can guarantee in 2 years, we're going to end up with Caleb Williams.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure it'll be after like, he fails miserably in Chicago, but we'll get him.
After, you know, but I like DJ Moore, I would not be opposed to, but that would be a sweet pickup, but I think they're married to him out there.
They really like get him
from him. If we can, if there's one GM that could make that trade, that would be Omar Khan.
Yeah. He's a con artist.
He is. He has a way of, he has something over Ryan Poles, and I don't know what it is, but I'm glad he has it.
Especially over Chicago.
He just
steals away from them. He picks their pocket in the middle of the night, and they don't even know how to hit him.
I know. I love it. That's what I was telling Mike a couple shows ago. We could pull the ultimate fleece, trick them back into taking Justin Fields for their number one pick. Be like, look, you have a starting quarterback. Give us your pick, you know?
Yeah. Boom. Here we go.
So, guys, let's move on a little bit here. The Pittsburgh Passion, our ladies here in Pittsburgh, they start off the season in a good way. They go down to Alabama over the weekend to – let me think what the name of it was. It was –
I can't remember.
Winona, Alabama. They went down to Winona, Alabama to play the Alabama Fire. They go down and they dominate this game. I was really, it was a nice surprise to see. I did get to watch it. They seem like they're very on top of their thing. My thing was, my question was this. I don't know if Alabama just wasn't playing good or we played really well. It fell into one of those kind of games. So I don't know if we're as good as 36-7 shows or Alabama. They just, again, it was hard to tell because they didn't play too well. Mike Soccer, the Pittsburgh Riverhounds, they get a win 2-0 over Detroit City.
Getting back on track.
Back on track, baby. In the UFL, on Saturday, San Antonio Brahmas beat Arlington 25-15. Birmingham Stallions beat Houston 32-9. On Sunday, the St. Louis Battlehawks 45, the D.C. Defenders 12. And finally, Michigan, the Panthers 35. Memphis Showboats 18. And since I promised, Mike, I promised.
You promised. We've
got to talk about the Buccos briefly.
No, we don't.
They had a series against the Giants over the weekend. They lose on Friday night 3-0. They win on Saturday night 4-3. And they take an L last night 3-2. They're 4 games out of first place in the division still. Somehow they managed to hang in there. They are next. They play in Oakland, so they're not even leaving the Bay Area. They're just going across the bridge to play the A's tonight. 9:40 is the game. 1 of 3 probable pitchers for the Pirates. Bailey Falter, lefty with a 2-1 record of 3.33 and 18 strikeouts on the season, is going up against Joe Boyle, who's 1-4 with a 7.06, but surprisingly 24 strikeouts. So that could be a tough game for the Pirates. I mean, it's the A's. We should be able to beat them, but you know what? The Pittsburgh Pirates, it's never a guarantee with them, so we will see.
Yeah, they're 12-17, we're 14-15, so record-wise, not that much better.
Right.
And their run differential of negative 43 to our negative 6, we should be able to score some runs. On paper, we should be able to light up their pitching staff.
Mike, why don't you tell everybody about the website, man?
The2dummyinjures.com. The2dummyinjures.com over there. You're new here. Ryan and I's social media links are all over there. We have a merchandise store, t-shirt like this. And we got the blog over there and over there too. There's a message thing over there. If you, you can message us and it comes to the email address, and the email address too, if you just want to email, is twodummyinzers.com. It's twodummyinzers@gmail.com.
Go check it out, everybody. www.the2dummyinzers.com. That's www.the2dummyinzers.com. Guys, the question of the day, the trivia of the day, it's going to be a draft question. We won't be doing too many more draft questions, but we're going to be doing a draft question today. Ron, You're more than welcome to play along, Mike. Everybody on the board. Here we go. The question of the day. What year? I'm looking for a year. What year was the last time the Steelers drafted offensive linemen with their first two picks?
I know the players.
I don't need the players. I just need the year. When was the last year that the Steelers drafted offensive linemen with their first two picks? Go ahead and take a minute to think that over. We are live, everybody. We're live 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, right here, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. The show that we do live every single day goes up on Spotify and podcast form at 8 o'clock p.m. every day. If you don't get a chance to watch the show, maybe you just prefer to listen to the show. Maybe you're in the car, you're at the gym. You could always go over to Spotify and listen to the brand new show at Spotify. Check it out. All right, gentlemen. Question of the day. What was the last time the Steelers drafted offensive lineman with their first two picks? I'm looking for a year. I'm gonna start with Ron or Colin. Ron, what year do you think that was?
Oh my god, this would be a I have no idea. Okay, I'm gonna say 96.
96, is that your final answer?
Yeah, I
All right, I'm locking Ron in on 1996. Mike, over to you. When was the last time the Steelers drafted two offensive linemen with their first two picks?
Let's go 2010.
2010, is that your final answer?
Final answer.
All right, I got you locked in, guys. The question of the day was, what year was the last time the Steelers drafted offensive linemen with their first two picks? Mike says 2010. Ron says 1996. Mike, why don't you tell us the players, and we'll go from there.
DeCastro and Adams.
You're right. David DeCastro and Mike Adams, I believe, was his name, which was in the year of the Mayan calendar, the year we were all supposed to die, 2012, guys. Damn. 2012 was the last time. So 12 years ago, the Steelers took offensive linemen. It wasn't too that was the last time. 2012, they took two offensive linemen. I'm trying to think. What do we get this year? We got a guard, a center, and a tackle.
Guard and tackle.
Adams was a guard.
No, Adams was tackle. DeCastro was.
Oh, that's guard. Right.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy, man.
Wow.
Anything, Mike, before we start getting ready to take off for the day?
Here you go. James Harrison set a Kent State school record. He sacked Big Ben 5 times in one game.
Really?
And I just saw this on the Twitter. It just popped up. As James Harrison said, some bub named Ruthless something burger.
I do want to say thank you, everybody, for checking us out. We appreciate each and every one of you. We wouldn't do it without you. And also, everybody on the board, we want to say thank you so much. You guys always keep things interesting. Always. Also, as you can see today, guys, we are starting. It's a project. It's a project and we're getting there. We're working on call-ins, and we're getting to the point where we're going to be able to do that. But as you can see today, Ron, who's always on the board, he is with us today on the show. He was here to talk, BS, ask questions, anything like that. So what we're going to do until we do get that phone system set up, if you're interested, just shoot us an email at any of our Mike, is our email? It's over at the website, correct?
Correct.
So either go to the website, shoot us an email. You could go to any of our social media pages and shoot us a message and let us know that you're interested. We will shoot you over in return the link for the show that day, and you can of course call in, be a part of the show. So this is something that we're working on this week. If you want to give it a try, do some experimentation with us, feel free this week, because we're working on something new here, and I think it's gonna be pretty awesome when it's eventually complete. But that is available as well. Mike, I got to tell you, this shower coffee combination I took, listen, you can see the top of my shirt here is all wet from that's from that coffee shower combination.
Yeah. You got to do the coffee first, wait about an hour, then go get a shower.
I basically pounded a cup of coffee, jumped in, got a hot shower, and jumped out and drank a half a cup of coffee.
Yeah, you messed. That's a rookie mistake right there.
Man, I'm a mess. But anything else, Mike?
No, other than Ron, thanks for coming on. It was awesome.
Absolutely, Ron. Yes. It's super awesome to finally get to talk to you. We're there for you, buddy. You know that. You're always welcome here on the show. You're always welcome, man. So don't be a stranger.
I love you guys. I love the show. It feels just so naturally like I'm at home. There's a lot of shows out there, but I love you guys. Hey, real quick, did you think that Buffalo really messed up by letting Kansas City do what they always do and jump up and get Worthy?
Yeah, that was the dumbest move ever. You're going to trade with your biggest rival to let them get more or less a clone of, what's his name? Of
Tyreek Hill.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. It was stupid. And this is why Buffalo's never going to win a championship.
You're right.
Thing I thought the Jets would surely get Bowers, and they didn't. They messed that up.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Weird. It was an interesting draft, to say the least. It was a lot of fun, as always. It lived up to the billing. We certainly enjoyed it. I think we got what we wanted out of it. Derpy did this. He dipped out today. I don't know what went on with him, guys. He was here, and then he texted me during the show and said that, sorry, I had to take off unexpectedly, so I don't know what happened with him. Hopefully everything's okay. But, Mike, I'm going to wrap it up, man. Speak now. Forever hold your peace, sir.
I got nothing.
All right. I want to thank Ron. I want to thank everybody at home, everybody on the board. You guys are awesome, as always. For Mike at the Steelers Central 2-Dumb. Mike at the Steelers Central Mobile Studio, the 2-Dumb Yinzers, Ron, Derpy, wherever he is, myself. Everyone have a great day. We'll be back tomorrow to do it all over again. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
See you.
No.